You're listening to a 9to5.cc podcast.
For a smoke, because he's like, that's my fucking song.
Yeah, I've heard that.
He's like, I don't need
There's
to
no
hear
more
it.
Need to listen to that fucking
Cousins
song.
Cousins is, now Cousins is, why are we calling you Cousins? You
wanna that's my last name, and that's a stuck sort of.
It's like your last name is like C-O-U-S-I-N-S.
Yeah, I think people find that weird.
It happens a lot in high school, though, that people grab, get like their fucking
last
name.
I think it was like a gropey gym teacher who started calling me Cousins.
Oh, yeah.
It's always a gym teacher. One person called me by my last name in high school was a goddamn gym teacher.
Yeah, but that's because they're all super athletic. I don't know
who my gym teacher was?
Who was your gym teacher?
Frank Cavallaro's brother.
Okay.
Fat Frank Cavallaro from the news?
Yeah.
I met him.
Brother.
Yeah, he likes to eat.
My gym teacher.
He's a good eater.
Yeah, he's a good eater.
Yeah,
is he fat as fuck?
Yeah, I worked at a few restaurants in my day in Montreal, and he always came in. He knows. I don't think he's ever paid for a meal. Well,
I don't
in his
think
life
so. No. That's what being. He's like the Hank Kingsley of Montreal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So that song that we were listening to was "Black Is the Night," which was Cousins' solo project, which is not actually what he's here to plug. But you know,
and what
he's plugging himself.
Do we identify the episode yet? Episode 4.
We're episode 4. Well, episode go plug four. Yourself. Episode 4. We
go
didn't even
yourself.
Fucking say that.
We're here.
You guys must be geniuses in the editing room. I'm taking it.
No.
Not really.
That's pretty much what it comes out sounding like.
Okay. Exactly. It comes out nice and
minus profuse racial slurs.
Perfect
you know?
Segues.
Not even.
We don't have to worry about me. I'm very WASPy. I say my racial slurs for the dinner table with my parents. No, I'm joking.
Exactly. No, but it's said in like in all just sort of like, what are we going to do about the black problem? What? And it's just sort of like, are we still talking about the black problem? That's awkward.
Talking about the state of rap music, right?
Yeah, exactly. Of course. I don't know if you've ever been onto BBC's website, BBC Radio's website.
Yeah, I was on there the other day.
The fact that they refer to like hip hop, soul, and R&B as black music. And it's not, like, racist. They're
We've talked about this. I don't have a problem with this. Seriously, no.
With BBC?
I just think they're more real. No, I think they're more real, dude.
They're more real?
I think they're more real. Because we've totally had this debate. And I'm like, I don't have an issue with that.
Yeah.
Because it's like, no. Because it's like, they're not dicking about with all these, like, silly euphemisms and whatnot. You know, they're calling it what it is. It's black music, you know?
That's what it is.
Sounds racist when you say it.
It doesn't. It doesn't. Because
if you had a British accent, it'd be less racist.
Yeah, admittedly so, but that's the issue here. This is why like Darren sounds more racist.
I know a lot of like white rap Canadian group type of people from my childhood, and I'm like, you know, that's a really good song. You know what would make that sound really better? If a black person was singing those things. Somehow your nasally
Eminem's been
fucking
getting that his whole fucking life. Yeah,
your nasally suburb voice just isn't doing it for me.
For sure. So you were saying... Before no, don't let me stop you from taking beer.
You can't physically. It's
no, but
impossible.
I'll stretch out the question until you're done drinking the beer.
What would you say?
So there's going to be a link to your band's website, obviously, on the post. So okay.
Our website is like half-assed, by the way.
Oh yeah, we got
oh
that.
It is.
I blame that on our guitarist. He doesn't follow through with anything.
That was your first mistake.
But anyway, like so this, he set this up, and then I'm here. And
then
not
he bails.
Him, so. Yeah.
He was just sort of like, it'll probably be me or the lead singer. I'll check with him. It'll maybe still be me. No, I'm not even coming.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
That's awesome. That's Leif Anderson.
Fucking guy. Yeah.
Not Garrett.
Not Leif Garrett. But anyway, so your band, I mean, I'm only judging from the tracks that are on the website, which you have told us.
There's like two on there,
tracks.
Right?
Yeah, there's two or three. There's She Finds Gold, Shivers, and Leverage.
Yeah.
That's the tracks that's on the website.
Yeah. The song I actually wrote for her. Leverage.
Aww.
It's the only song I've ever written for a woman, other than the one that we listened to before, Girls and Drugs. That's for every girl and woman in the room. Who doesn't like girls and drugs? I mean, girls like girls.
No, last week is a bunch of comedians who were just fucking like yelling at us.
Please liberally use quotation marks.
Comedians.
We had a bunch of comedians going down here.
Chris Betts is a legitimate comedian. McStevie is a legitimate drug addict who gets on stage.
I think most comedians are both.
Yeah.
No, not like this. It's like if Belushi was doing 8 Balls at the start of fucking Saturday Night Live, you know?
Like instead of towards like the end. Yeah. He got up on stage here, the open mic they do on Tuesdays, and we're just sort of like, you know, it's not a good idea dropping acid before a comedy show. Yeah. I'm not even funny anymore. And he wasn't. Like, he stood up there for
That's
5 minutes.
That's what's the best
like,
about comedy upstairs. I've gone up a few times, and it's like some of it's the best is to watch guys bail, sort of.
Yeah, once they go up and once a night, man.
Yeah.
It's like you get guys that have been doing it for like 20 years, and you get guys that have been doing it for like 2 weeks.
Yeah. Or one night.
And are there like
5 minutes.
Yeah, and are there on a drunken bet.
Yeah, exactly. Just, you're funny. You should be a comedian. Get upstage. Fuck.
There's this one guy. Yeah. I'm not going to name names because it would be harmful.
Name names?
No, I'm not going to name
Do
names.
It.
No, it's just this dude. I don't know. The open mic. Just let this be a lesson to all.
Why'd you say his name? Just this. This is his first name, and dude is his last name, so you kind of ruined
right,
the whole thing.
This dude, yeah.
This dude?
Just this
but,
dude.
But he's like, he gets, I swear to God, I think this guy's done a total of maybe like 10 shows.
Okay.
And the last.
Have I seen any of them?
Three times, maybe. Okay. And the last two, three times I've seen this guy, he gets like all super pissed off at the crowd when they don't dig his shit. Like, absolutely.
He gets like.
Belligerent shit. And I'm like. Yeah, because you've been doing this long enough to be able to do that. Like,
Yeah.
I think I did that once at a show playing live, and that was a bad idea. That was a drunk when I fell over.
I can imagine. But
it was a Sal LaRosa show, and I fell off.
Were you an opening act, or were you like headlining?
Yeah, I think I can't remember. I went to the casino with a friend, and we won a lot. I won like, well, not a lot.
Enough to get you fucking.
I won $300 something.
That's
dollars.
A lot.
And so from the casino through downtown to the walk to Sal LaRosa, we stopped at every bar.
Nice.
And the $300 was gone.
To your own show.
And I almost forgot that I was walking to the show to play the show. This is when, yeah, me and the drummer in my band now, Mark, we were in a country band. The girls were there's girls writing the music and singing, and I was playing lead guitar.
Yeah.
And by the time I got there, yeah, it was not good. I walked off stage, forgot that we had more songs to do. Anyway, it was a fucking mess.
Yeah, that's
thing about yelling.
And you were like super belligerent and stuff.
Yeah.
There's
a lot of shaking of the heads from the other bandmates. They were not.
Yeah, not
pleased.
Yeah, they were not happy.
Ladies and gentlemen, Hollywood.
Goddamn, hey. Hollywood's here.
Hollywood's here. What's up, buddy? What's up, man? It's been a while.
Hey, Nancy, where are those shots?
Those crazy strip clubs.
Hollywood. I didn't have this T-shirt on. Cool, that's different.
That.
I love that Hollywood is a...
For the second consecutive podcast.
Fucking Hollywood.
local Montreal
What's the shirt say? What's
street
the shirt
legend.
Say? What's the shirt say, Hollywood? Show me your shirt
If you have a problem with my attitude, please call 1-800-FUCK-YOU.
Try. Are you grabbing? You got your phone out.
Clever.
Are you going to call it?
I'm going to try to call it.
Try and call the
1-800-FUCK-YOU.
Is
it just fuck-you? Does that work? Wait.
Yeah, yeah, 7 digits. That's right.
What kind of mobile plan are you on these days?
CK.
Yeah. Keep mobile.
Hold on.
You are making more money than most people I know, Hollywood.
Hollywood.
I'm calling 1-800 fuck you. Let's see if it actually
exists.
Excuse me, I have a problem with this man's attitude.
Stunt Radio, Morning Zoo.
Yeah, exactly.
We're going to call right now. We're going to call 1-800-FUCK-YOU right now. All right. They'll bleep it out later. We're going to call 1-800 fuck you. We have Hollywood in studio.
Yeah, exactly.
He's got a crazy sweater on this morning. Now Hollywood, when did you learn to be so crazy?
Oh god damn it. I love that he sees us with the mics. He would otherwise ignore us. He sees us
no,
like a
bullshit.
Microphone and a computer. Hollywood's like, "I'm coming." All right.
Really, is this happening?
It happens
okay.
Again.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you about the show on the Von der Roche. Now come to it. Guaranteed to get some booty.
Guaranteed.
Guaranteed to get some free drinks. And you see the most sexiest women there is in Montreal.
How do you know about?
Because I'm looking
Hollywood?
At one in front of me.
Oh, damn it, Hollywood!
Because now I got to get me a couple of batteries at the drugstore. Because my heart can't take it no longer, guys.
Boom! Oh, shit. There it is.
You know they say, "Go, man, go," but enough's enough. Because, you know, it ain't easy. It ain't easy being cheesy. That's why I tell them to drop it on the wood like it's all good.
You know it.
I'm saying. So what are you guys working on, a video or a book or what?
We do a podcast.
Audio book.
You've been a guest on it already before.
Oh, yeah?
And you sang cool. last week.
Okay.
Yeah, it was
well, awesome. Well, I might even sing to you again because you got my angel in front of me now.
Oh,
yeah. You know? I mean, there's only so much I can take.
That was a good one. Really?
This one's for you.
Okay, here we go.
There we go. And
when the night has come,
boom, 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 boom,
and the land would dawn,
boom,
and
boom,
the moon is the only light you'll see, do,
boom,
do, do, do,
boom,
do,
boom,
and I won't
boom,
be afraid.
Boom,
I won't be afraid just as long. As you stand by me.
All right, that's great. Can't hear it. Give me that beer. Give me this back. This is my energy. Get out
of
here.
Hollywood, everybody.
This is a shot and a beer for you.
Good.
That was sexual. That was really sexy, actually. We should...
Guys,
you can expect harmonies like that at the show.
Before I start, here's to health. Because we're doing bloody swell.
Nice. I like that. Excellent.
Back.
All right. All right. All right.
Genius.
Okay.
Yes.
Obviously.
So where were we? We were talking about how that song sounds quite different from your usual style, and you said there was kind of like a story behind that.
Oh yeah, the one that I well,
the song we listened to a couple minutes ago.
Yeah, the one that we have is
Center.
The one that we just listened to is a song, actually that I wrote with a guy named Chris Bartos.
Okay.
And he's the guy who recorded our first album.
Okay. That was
and
the
he produced it.
Lost Deer Skull?
Yeah.
I wrote shit down.
Looking back, it's something we're trying to change it. But anyway.
All right.
So him and I spent a lot of time in the studio ourselves, him and I in that studio doing that album. And then we decided to do something else for fun.
All right.
And we wrote that. And basically it's just electro dance fun. Like, and the lyrics were... I like girls and drugs.
Yeah,
and we wrote that song that you listen to now. It's not mastered, and he's chopped it around. And there's a few label people like Drake. You know Drake,
the Canadian hip-hop superstar.
Yeah, he has an
superstar.
Entertainment lawyer from Toronto okay. that listened to it.
Yeah,
and he was like, "I want you guys to do this again.
Okay,
if you show me a newer demo,
yeah,
change
yeah.
the lyrics and make it a little friendlier,
a little more
maybe
radio
we can
friendly."
Do something. And I was like,
that's
kind fuck of, off.
You know, I was gonna say that's yeah. like the big dilemma, right? Is
yeah.
that like oftentimes like the track that like breaks a band,
yeah.
is the track that sounds least like them. Like I remember, yeah. well, fucking late '90s, right, with the Blur song too. Sounds absolutely nothing like they're like a mopey British,
yeah, yeah,
like
shoegazing,
yeah, exactly. And then they record like song two, and I was like, I love Blur. And
you
I'm
know
like,
what's a great example of that?
Yeah. Go,
hit Cherry it. Pie,
Cherry Pie
by Warren.
Yeah,
beautiful song,
great song, but
classics.
I think it's on that shit. They had that series, Heavy, A History of Metal.
Yeah,
it's on like Much Music.
The
like,
History of Metal yeah. and Cherry Pie's on.
Yeah, well, they get into hair metal and shit, right?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
And
the whole
so they're
hair
talking
metal
to, they're talking to the guy like Warren, right?
Yeah,
and they you know they crap they put an album together.
Yeah, yeah.
They make an album, and the studio's like, we need one more. We need one kind of like sort of. Consumer friendly song, radio friendly
yeah.
song, you know, just do it, give us something.
Yeah.
Like, fuck it, whatever. Like,
Cherry Pie.
Like, shits out Cherry Pie in a night, you know, just like, just blows
shits
it out.
Shits out.
Yeah. And he's like,
went to the bathroom, took a dump, Cherry Pie.
I think
pie.
That song was kind of like the song that when I was at the age I was like when I was reading nudie mags and jerking off to Cherry Pie because it was the perfect appropriate song to play while
masturbating
right. to like pay catalog.
Even tempo wise, I think.
Yeah. Tempo wise, it really picked up.
Yeah, but so like apparently, like, and like the dude from this is like the dude from Warrant telling the story. He's like, so you know, I do Cherry Pie, and all of a sudden, you know, like the label goes whole hog with Cherry Pie, uses it to like to sell the whole album.
That's depressing.
And like we're doing every show we do, every like promo appearance we do, we have to do Cherry Pie.
Yeah,
like,
can you name another Warrant song right now?
No.
Yeah, can you?
No.
I could barely name their band name.
So cousins yeah. dodged that bullet. By being like, no, we're not heading into electro rock.
Yeah, well, there's anyway with that song. There's some people, and his brother runs Robot Music out in Vancouver, and he's like, this could really be well, it could be a really good song if you redo it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
I mean, the track that we're listening to is we've already redone it.
Okay.
I still have to get my ass to Toronto to finish it, but yeah. So they want. A bunch of people are like, this could be a really big stupid party hit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's what it's supposed to be. It's like me and him. Basically spent 2 months doing a ton of drugs and drinking a shitload of alcohol and writing a song. And but they want us to change the lyrics. Can you just not come out and be like, I like girls and drugs? Can they just not
can
say
we,
that over?
We're
and
like, no, that's the core
no,
of the song.
That's pretty much it. Yeah. I like drugs and girls.
Yeah, for sure. Fuck. I mean, yeah. I'm like... The other thing too is that like you'll feel shitty about it if you edited it. Right?
Well, how do you dodge around it? I don't know. Like,
right, exactly. You're like the entire basis of the song is about enjoying girls.
I enjoy the occasional night going out and partaking in recreational.
So in a sense, it's
you could be like, I like driving sensibly
stupid.
And going
yeah, yeah,
to the
yeah,
movies.
Yeah.
What? The song is now different.
I, yeah.
So the song is kind of like Nickelback's Bottom Up.
Exactly.
Fuck you.
I'm
fuck you so hard.
Yes.
In
the electro version.
Exactly. It's the electro version of Nickelback.
Except for maybe Nickelback has more sense to actually add more lyrics. Although that's probably their fault because they write the worst lyrics ever.
They're just filler, man.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Nickelback is the like prime example of the idiot fucking... It makes me so mad.
Was it you who said like they're the apex of shitty Canadian rock?
Yeah, exactly. Like I hate the fact that they're probably the most listened to Canadian band.
Yeah,
like it bugs the
one of the most listened to rock bands, dude.
Yeah, they're one of the most listened to rock bands right now. And the fact that everyone's like, "Oh, you're from Canada, you must love Nickelback."
This is, yeah, we're delving into something worse. Here's what we have as Canadians: our heir to musical throne, other than like Neil Young and the
question
band,
mark the mysterious.
Other than Neil Young and the band, and like serious people.
Yeah,
this is what we got: fucking bare naked ladies. Thank you. What do you make us look great?
They did the theme song of
Don't say it.
Big Bang. I know. Okay, you like
no, no, no. I really don't like bare naked.
So this is what we got: Tom Cochran,
right?
Brian fucking Adams, oh, bare naked ladies, and then Nickelback.
When all the shittiest Canadian bands get big, I overrated. Like, yeah. I want to say it.
No,
I
no, no, no. Fucking Simple Plan got really big.
Simple Plan.
They suck too. That's what I'm saying. There's shitty.
You said the band, man. Only the band is only half Canadian.
No, they're all Canadian. No, dude, no. Levon Helms is the only American.
I thought they were only half, dude. Like,
Levon Helms is the only American.
Are you sure?
Positively.
Right. The funniest.
I will accept
when
this.
When we started
exactly,
this
I was like, take it from a guy who like managed clubs and all that shit. You're like, yeah. I'm going to argue with you about the
Oh,
band.
Yeah, well, I've seen The Last Waltz like 3 times, so fuck you.
Fucking Sum 41 always pissed me the fuck off, because when I was like a teenager, I was into Reset. And they were like a reasonable Montreal punk band.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they were like, Reset broke up. Oh, like 3 members got together, and there's this other band, Simple Plan. I remember going. I was like 17 or 16 or something.
Like
I was
the like, bubblegum version?
Fucking
of the
garbage.
Bubblegum version. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, what the fuck happened to. I recognize those guys.
I fucking hope to God Simple Plan is going to listen to your podcast and hear me, cousins from Heavy Hand, say you fucking stink.
Band feud. Band feud. Band feud. Band feud.
They're going to be like, whatever, man. It's wiping their fucking brow with their money.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's what – that was –
Nagging 14-year-olds. What do they care?
Yeah. Was it Nikki? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Nikki was filling in trumpet for the Planet Smashers when they were opening for Simple Plan.
That Nikki?
Huh? What?
The pizza place Nikki.
Pizza place Nikki? The guy who owns the restaurant
about?
Now?
Yeah.
Like the one of the twins?
Right.
Yeah, yeah, Nikki.
He was playing sub for Planet Smashers?
Yeah, yeah. He was playing trumpet for Planet Smashers on the tour with Simple
They're
Plan.
They're great live Planet
and
Smashers. I like them.
It's
Smashers toured with Simple Plan?
Yeah, yeah. Well, because the thing is, Simple Plan thought
you
they were like
Planet Smashers need to make some money somehow.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And Simple Plan was like, oh, we're going to do a favor to you guys, whatever, even though Planet Smashers
like,
had been
doing all right.
Exactly.
We're doing
they were doing okay and had been around a lot longer than fucking Simple Plan. They were like, okay, well, it's a decent fucking paycheck. And they were like, these guys, and like Nikki's known them, and the Smashers knew them, and they're like, they're all hanging around in the like opener's green room and whatever else like that. And Simple Plan is fucking like showing up on their bus and like acting like these rock stars. They're like, guys, we know you. Like, we've known you for fucking 10 years. Like, you're not, well, like, you're.
No, Simple Plan's like, no, you can come on. We'll do you a favor. Just don't fucking step into the wardrobe room. Don't fuck with the wardrobes.
Yeah, exactly.
That t-shirt costs $300.
Like, no pink and black, goddamn.
It was Simple Plan and Headley who were doing this fucking stadium tour.
I met Headley.
With
Headley.
The Smashers opening and not a fucking kid in the audience even giving a shit about
Headley's
ska.
Like one of my favorite bands, actually.
I met Headley.
No.
I was like, oh, shit, I'm going to have to edit this out and sell the your favorite band.
Really?
Fuck Headley.
I love them.
I got voted off of Canadian Idol, so I made a pop punk band.
And I met him.
Headley. God damn it. Did you interview him?
Yeah, well, I was one of the first, like, quasi-famous people I met.
Headley.
Yeah, we got to meet him backstage and shit, and they gave us beers.
You met me, and now we can be, now when I'm gigantic and huge, you can be like, oh yeah,
actually,
man, cousins.
That's what we're hoping, is fucking just interviewing tons of local Montreal talent, comedians, musicians, whatever.
So
is that someone's going
to
break out?
And then we're going to
be like, we interviewed them before they were famous.
Bam! We do. We go on tour, and you guys just do your podcast every night in different cities, and then interview opening acts and interview crazy people.
Exactly. Stick with the.
You don't want to go on tour with us, though. It's disgusting. It's horrible.
How is it horrible? Just a little drinking and horribleness and.
Yeah. The last.
Yeah. Finished.
I'm gonna plug us a little bit and plug us in a horrible way.
All right.
We did a tour last summer that was only like small in Ontario. We started at a bar around here. I'm not gonna say anything, but it's owned by the Hells. Someone
owned by the Hells Trail Off.
Hells Trail Off. Someone.
So Nichols.
And
so Nichols.
So the first kickoff show that we did was in Montreal, downtown.
Yep.
And it was to, okay, like, get everyone out, garnish some money, and get some money so we can, you know, have
do
some
the
money
rest of the tour.
Yeah.
Cash in the pockets when
and,
you go.
And associates, not a friend of ours. I'm not a friend of mine.
Someone you knew but not a friend with.
Maybe he's a friend. I'm just going to say associate.
Yep.
Accidentally smashed a pint glass in the guy's face while we were playing. And we were playing and we were watching this whole thing happen. Anyway. Man's face got shredded.
Oh,
blood
fuck.
Was everywhere. The show got halfway through our set. We had to leave.
Yeah.
There was blood over our police. And then we went on tour and went to Kingston and a few places. And then we were in Toronto and we started getting calls from people that we know. They're like, oh, yeah, the Hell's Angels guy wants your friend there that caused so much ruckus to you know, call him. Anyway, that was the that was the first show.
That puts a nice sets the tone for the whole entire thing. You're like, oh, and, fuck.
Yeah. And we didn't sleep at all, and yeah, it was pretty bad. We went to all the dives. It was great. Anyway, if you guys want to come on tour, let's do it. If you don't like to sleep,
that's what we're saying.
I don't.
Stressful
actually.
Situations and not sleeping. Let's go.
This sounds like Walter embodied in a tour. Lack of sleep and stress.
Yeah, stress from like 24 hours.
Amazing. Of and we're just doing interviews with the opening acts and whatever, and we're like, "Go fuck yourselves. We haven't slept."
Yeah.
Go plug yourself to just straight up go fuck yourself.
So it says here on my cards, you're a big old jagoff.
I talked to Cousins. He said you owe him $500. I don't owe him $500. You better fucking pay him.
I'm right behind him.
Fuck your shit right up. Oh my god, I'm just the opener. I don't give a shit. Someone needs to pay for the bar tab tonight. It's gonna be you, opening act. So your actual non-rock electro band is the.
What we heard was Babies of Baylock, which may or may not continue. But the band that we're playing with on the 29th is the Heavy Hands.
Heavy Hands, and that's a lot more traditional. Traditional, quote unquote. It doesn't sound traditional, I guess, but heavy rockish sort of stuff.
Well, it's we started as a country band.
Okay.
It started as very country, like outlaw country, and then it went to like a southern rock.
Okay.
And when it comes down to it, I don't think we're pulling the southern rock off as well as we should be.
Okay. You said you were redesigning your sound. So people go to the show. It's on the 28th?
29th.
29th. Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Exactly.
You
November
your calendar,
29th.
Yeah.
Yes.
But the drummer and I, we grew up playing hardcore music, and I've been playing in bands with him since like the 90s, like 91.
Okay.
So we're getting back into our like rock and roll heavy.
Okay.
It's more. You know Bionic?
Not at all.
From Montreal?
Bionic?
Nope.
One of my like favorite Montreal bands.
It rings a bell. I'm not. If it's hardcore, I don't really know.
It's not hardcore.
Is it heavier?
It's like almost like Queen. Almost like Queen's.
Shut up, dude.
Mix Queens of Stone Age mix.
Okay,
something.
That's good. Sort
just
of
rock
like,
and roll.
Yeah,
but heavier
with a little bit of a country vibe.
A little heavier. You know.
Okay,
it's good. So we're back to that, and I guess you just have to see.
Well, that's exciting.
But we are playing with Skag Barons, who we're really good friends with. And
Now you were said that before, Skag Barons. Fear and Loathing reference.
How the fuck would he know, dude? He's not from the band. He's from the Heavy Hands.
I assume he knew them.
He said he knows them.
I know Skag Barons.
But is the name Skag Barons of Fear and Loathing?
Do you know the derivation of their name? Whence comes the derivation of
their name? I also know is that my buddy Nevada, who we played with before in another band, he started Skag Barons, and they're like, here's four band names. Send out emails like, what do you think?
And Skag Barons is one of them. And
yeah, I don't know what the other two. I mean, it kind of speaks for itself. They're Barons of Skag.
Skag being a reference to heroin.
Yeah. Or pirate.
Are they very thin?
Something. Yeah, they are pretty thin.
Okay, so
all right, you're freaking me out. Now I'm getting too deep.
Are we trying to establish if the Skag Barons are on heroin?
Yeah.
I think they are. Let's just say
they are.
If they're not, they're coming to Montreal in a week, so they probably will be there.
They like chocolate.
Just went on a weird deviation. How about the chocolate? Yeah. So we know how the drummers, so you guys have known each other since you were kids, presumably?
Yeah, we played in bands together and almost got signed to labels when we were in the 90s. Like,
okay,
since the 90s we've been playing together.
That's cool. And this whole fucking interview was set up by Leaf, who's not here.
Yeah.
Because we're both on Reddit, so how did you meet
he's,
him?
He's
probably on Reddit right now.
We met when I was trying to start a country band, and I was working at wherever I was working at the time. Beers and whiskey. Hey, where's more shots?
I think it's fair to say that also Cousin showed up and was just sort of like, I'm going to get a few drinks. Usually you order a beer. He was like, I'll get a beer and two shots. I'll get a second beer, two more shots. So
I call it the Boilermaker Deluxe.
Yeah.
To start.
He's rolling with our policy to have a guest.
Hollywood?
Or de facto policy.
As inebriated as possible.
Hollywood. Oh, no, last, hotel with me as a guest.
No, man,
as a guest.
Last week was a shit show, dude. Like,
well, this is a beautiful radio.
The guy that our guest
venue?
Our guest
venue.
Last episode.
Yeah, like
our
a
guest
bar.
Last episode got so drunk
exactly
that he started to plug the same event twice. Like, he started to re-plug the same thing.
That's so good.
Forgetting he had plugged it the first time.
Like, right. 10 minutes previously. That would be as though if you were just sort of like, so I have this band, like, right now. And you'd be like, you just talked about the band.
Right.
It was amazing.
I'm waiting for your questions.
All right. So Leaf,
anyway, yeah,
Leaf is the lead guitarist? Or?
Yeah, the weird thing about Leaf and me and him being in the band is I was looking for a lead guitarist in a country band. We started off being really acoustic country and like a little outlaw.
Yeah.
Outlaw country. And I met Leaf at Oceaga.
Okay.
With, I said earlier I was playing with a female band, two girls that they're called Maple Falls and whatever.
Okay.
They wrote all the stuff and I was friends with them. Okay, I'll come play lead guitar.
Yeah.
And I was going to start my own band and I need a lead guitarist. And we went to Oceaga and it was the first Oceaga that they ever did.
Oh, the good one.
Yeah. So yeah.
You see what I mean? I call you a music snob sometimes.
I still know a lot of those people that work there, so.
So it was the first Oceaga, and I was with she was a backup singer in my band then, and I was looking for a lead guitarist. She's like, oh, I know this guy, Leaf. And we met, and within 5 minutes, we were drinking and talking music, and I was like, you play guitar? I'd never seen him play guitar, period. I don't even know if he could play guitar. And I was like, you're hired. You're in my band.
You're in my band.
And luckily, when he showed up the next week to play, he could play.
Yeah, no, I was
so I was like, oh, great. This is even better.
Like,
I was like,
you're like sitting there fucking panicking for like the whole week, being like, oh, fuck. I just told this guy who's in the band.
Yeah.
What a letdown he's going to have when he sucks.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, no, he's amazing.
Yeah, I was like, that's awesome. He's pretty good. I was like, sweet. This works out. So that was pretty cool. I was like, that worked out.
And then so you on vocals, Mark on drums, Leaf guitar. Yeah. Do you have a bassist? Or
Jared Atkinson, yeah.
Okay, and how did you meet Jared? I guess.
That's nuts. He owned this place called the Frontenac Shack on Frontenac Street,
okay.
And he's a bluegrass player, first and foremost. And he hangs out with like
a bit of a jump.
Joe Grass and all the big like Darryl Weiss and like all these huge bluegrass players from Montreal.
Okay.
And I was working at the cabaret at the time.
Yeah.
Just for laughs. And one night, a friend of mine was like, "Let's go over to my buddy's house," and they stayed up 24 hours nonstop and played bluegrass.
That used
up
to,
until like 9 to 10 in the morning.
I don't know if you've ever been here at Grumpy's when they used to have their the Bluegrass Mondays or whatever.
Yeah.
When they were just like, and it's almost off-putting to be here when they do it because you're just sort of like it's a group of like 12 people just sitting around. And they're like, let's do this into this, okay, into this, and like they're talking while they play.
Over there on the mics with the condensers, yeah.
Yeah. No, that's it, and it's just sort of like there's like 12 people, and they just like go into like this weird continuous, ongoing like bluegrass jam that you're like, you guys are really into bluegrass, and I find people who are into bluegrass are like stupendously into it. They were like, when this song was first
and
recorded,
amazing musicians generally.
It lends itself
always,
to being like it lends itself. Well, it's a pretty like technical kind of like music form. It lends itself to almost like music snobbery, being like, when this song was first played, it was by so and so in 1912.
Well, hey, there's always music snobs in every genre.
Oh yeah, for sure. But it's just sort of like I like I can't even remember the fucking track, but I was like, oh, I like that track, whatever.
Yeah.
And then like two or three bluegrass guys like told me that the version that I liked
Fill
was wrong, and it was recorded by this guy on this day.
Not the original.
And it doesn't matter that my dad owned the vinyl because it was recorded fucking the first time in the basement. And you're like, oh fuck, what?
Yeah.
No, like I've always been scared of bluegrass, like because of that.
You should be.
I think we're about to have a shot.
Can I just say, I just like to point out that Craig's better
wife,
half just
wife.
Showed up,
the wife,
with a tray full of shots. So, Craig, you have won the prize that nobody knew was up for grabs. You have become our permanent guest.
Oh, nice! Go plug
Craig,
yourself,
everybody. Go
fuck
plug
everyone
in.
Else.
She brings shots, and I'm the permanent guest. I don't know.
Well, she doesn't plug.
Exactly. From now on, fucking episodes 5 onwards is going to be with cousins and no one
Trump
else.
Trump,
you know what? No,
he can just show up and talk about whatever he's doing.
Episodes five through 10 will be all recorded tonight, all in one long session, just broken up.
It's cousins doesn't know, but we're recording until 1 in the morning.
Getting the shots for these delicious salted nuts that you brought. So.
I brought appetizers for the guests. Yeah,
they're very
good. I'm going to have some puff pastries later.
Green room and craft service styles.
I forgot the bluegrass guy's name.
The writer, I asked for the salted peanuts, actually.
What was the bluegrass guy's name?
Jared Atkinson.
Okay.
Come on, Keith.
So anyway,
come on,
you
dude.
Play.
This is a really interesting story too.
Yeah. Right.
So when I went to go meet him,
I was gonna say, how did you meet this bluegrass guy?
He lived there, and he lived there with I think it was Joe Grass and a few other guys at the time.
Okay.
And they would stay up seriously 2 days in a row almost.
Just playing like on meth.
No, like. Just drinking.
You're powered strictly by bluegrass.
I was on meth and everything else. No.
I had a roommate who did a lot of meth.
Let's just say it was a good party house, but it was like, you listen to bluegrass, and I was already in a country at the time, and I'm trying to start a country band.
Yep.
And watching these guys play, I was like, this is the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life. And watching these guys go till like 7 in the morning.
Nobody jams like bluegrass players, right? They just keep going and like bouncing off each other. I'm not even fucking kidding.
Says the bluegrass aficionado.
No, I'm just saying I've watched bluegrass jams.
Yeah. Nobody. Let's break it down.
And these are basically
nobody jams like a bluegrass band. Am I right?
Yeah.
Am I right? Yeah, you're right, Keith. Am I right?
They like to jam.
So you're sitting there watching these drunk bluegrass players.
Yeah. And they're very they can just get on anything. I realized how good of musicians these guys are.
Yeah.
So I started hanging out there more and became a friend with Jared. And started hanging out with him because I lived in Hochelaga at the time, too.
Okay.
Two Anglos in Hochelaga equals two Anglos in Hochelaga hanging
drinking.
Out.
Yeah. Like, just
it's
sort of
fun,
like, oh,
yeah.
Fuck. Yeah. Let alone musicians,
So
right?
I started hanging out there and then partying a lot more in the bluegrass scene. And I asked him timidly. I was like, do you know any bass players that would want to play with me? And, like, I play guitar with them. Like, you know, my skill level. I'm trying to do an outlaw country thing. And he was like, I'll play with you, man. I like hanging out with you. And since then, I couldn't even believe he said yes because he's so trained. Like,
okay.
I never went to school for music.
Yeah.
He's brought in a new level. He's taught me so much in harmonizing vocals to music theory and everything. It's great. So I'm very happy I met him. It's great, and that's how it happened.
And so there you go. And then I guess you play. Do you play or do you just sing?
I play guitar. I write all the songs.
I knew you were the.
I play drums.
Leaf was like lead singer songwriter, but it was just sort of like if he's lead guitar, you just play guitar with it along.
I write all the songs and let all the other guys like add whatever.
Main songwriter and stuff like that. I think it's a good. Like I've heard like various stories of like various bands of like some guys who. Write everything and don't let the band really get involved.
Like Sum 41. No, Simple Plan.
Sum 41 does that too, I guess.
I don't know.
No, and I was like, and that always like freaked me out. I'm like, you're basically just a fucking studio musician. You're like, I'm in this band, but one guy writes everything, hands you the sheet music, and then is like, do it.
Yeah, there's no way you can do that in a band though. Right?
Yeah, I'd be so pissed unless there was
a
really big paycheck.
I know, and I'm not going to say any names, but I know like
names.
Some people in Montreal. And some bigger bands that like ask people to do that, and it's like, why? Like, you have these great musicians, let them put a little stamp on it, and if they don't like,
if
it doesn't work, then say something. But
well, I don't know if you're a fan. I'm a big fan of Dave Grohl. In terms of like, it's like in terms of mainstream rock,
too.
I don't think it gets like much better than Foo Fighters.
Well, he's written some pretty Christian rock sounding stuff, but Pretender is probably the greatest song ever written.
What would you describe that he's done as Christian rock?
What's that fucking song?
Nancy's not here anymore. She'll tell
I'd ask Hollywood,
back.
But he has
but
no idea. He's black.
So
he doesn't listen to Foo Fighters.
Fucking
is that wrong to say?
No, it is. But like I said, but on his...
I saw Foo Fighters videos. There's not a black person.
There's no black person in it.
Sorry, Dave Grohl.
Sorry, Dave Grohl. You have no black friends. But then he's going to be on this somehow. Not on this podcast, but it'll be like... completely unrelated to be on MTV, and he's like, I'm Dave Grohl, and I have tons of black friends.
And I have 40, I have 47 black acquaintances.
They're all in my BlackBerry under B.
Yeah.
So I write Black Ted, Black John. You're like, fuck.
They pick Taylor Hawkins up playing with, who's he?
Hawk.
What is Taylor Hawkins?
Elena.
Taylor Hawkins is the drummer.
Elena Morris.
Yeah,
he's
awesome.
Anyway, but nonetheless, he recorded the first album all by himself. He didn't even have a band. Yeah. Right, and then he recorded the second album where he wrote everything completely, and then just like handed people stuff to play, and then was like, "Oh fuck, I have a reasonably good band." I was like, "I don't even understand how." Not to say I understand how it would happen, but as a songwriter, I don't know if you're in the same boat or not, where you're just sort of like, I imagine a solo here, but I'll fucking leave it up to the guitarist to figure out
how it works. I wish we had like our new music recorded where I could play you something other than my
Your electro
stupid
rock.
Electro thing, I mean. Which is hilarious, by the way.
Well, you have to tell everyone. Like, I don't have my music recorded because you could come to the show on the 29th.
Yeah, now the 29th. Yeah, it's different. It's a little heavier, and I actually do have more. I kind of stepped up to write more, like, in the drums.
That's Divan Orange.
Yeah. So I kind of stepped up to be, this is what I kind of, the idea of the song, and I'm not taking no for an answer on certain things. And
yeah, and
I don't know. But the other thing is, like, you have your band, so you're like, this is the idea. We get along pretty well.
Okay.
I think
you'd have to, right? Like, yeah. If you end up in a fucking, like, white zombie situation where you're on four vans traveling around fucking Canada, we don't talk to each other, we just fucking play. It's not gonna go.
That's creepy. We can't do that.
Not gonna go well with anything. Like, we can't afford to have four vans.
Yeah.
So you said you started out in 1991. Was that like your first band ever, or
my first band ever was the Discount Skaters in 1993. We opened up for like Screeching Weasel and some really old like punk, like DRI and stuff.
Yeah.
In London.
Okay.
Ontario. Yeah. It was really punk rock.
So I was like, so you were in the early 90s UK scene. No, Ontario.
No, London, Ontario.
Yeah. So just like three chord fucking
screaming. Good old fashioned punk, like really fast punk. Like
Well, it's still fun, fuck. Like,
yeah.
For sure. And you started with your drummer, Mark? Was that how you got into music? Or were you just like, I want to do that?
Yeah, kind of. I started playing drums at school, and then they let me bring drums home, and I got electric guitar, and I was like, fucking punk rock's awesome. So we started these bands, and I had a band, and my drummer now, we've known each other forever. He had a band too, and we started doing all these shows together.
Yeah.
In London.
That's cool. And you're from London initially.
Yeah.
So I
moved around.
Calgary. So was it like punk bands, punk music that got you into music in the first place, or? Was it punk bands and punk music that got you into music in the first place? Like, when you were like, I would like to make music. Like,
I think it was originally being in the womb and hearing the heartbeat.
Okay.
That was my first taste of music.
I can imagine that. I mean, much like myself, I'm assuming you were self-aware in the room, right? Like that was...
I was self-aware, and my mother's heartbeat just had an irregular arrhythm, and I just kind of...
And you're like, oh, that's a weird heartbeat.
And I remember being like, fuck, that's cool.
Does she have two pedals on this heartbeat?
That was my first introduction to music. I was like, that's cool rhythm.
Yeah.
I came out, and then I just had a ukulele.
That your first instrument?
Right as soon as I came out from the vagina. And because, you know, it fits well in a baby's hands. And
it's a small fucking instrument.
I started playing it. It worked out fine.
Mother looks like he's on the verge of a question or throwing up. One or the other.
I'm good. I'm taking this all in, trying to work out that visual.
Yeah. Baby clutching the ukulele, like
soaked baby in a viscous film.
Yeah, exactly. Ukulele. Just covered in goo. Put a ukulele in that baby's hands.
I still have that ukulele.
The one that's covered in placenta, like.
Yeah. And I plan on playing it on November 29th. Heavy hand skater.
At the Bar Orange.
That's my rush.
Awesome. You, Leaf was telling me, managed, used to manage at Cabaret Just for Laughs, and now you're currently managing at Corona.
Yeah.
I think
I don't manage at Corona.
Oh, no, you just work at Corona.
I'm just like a homeless person that just helps out there.
But you get a paycheck.
I haven't had a paycheck yet.
Shit.
I just started there.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure. I think they will. It's run by Evenko, so I'm pretty sure
Evenko
they'll give
me. Fucking. It's
I'm pretty sure
cash.
They'll give me a paycheck.
Like you might even have like a fucking medical plan, right? At this, if you're Corona's Evenko, you should look into that. Like
maybe I should. Yeah.
Yeah, because I was like, if you're run by Evenko, you might have benefits and stuff.
Maybe. I think I got to start working there longer. It's been like a week.
Exactly, but like after 3 months, be like, what kind of like once they get past the 90 days where they can't fire you anymore,
I think they'll be like, they'll
it's
be
great
like,
days.
Well, there's a medical plan or there's a free pass to shows for 2 months.
Take the pass.
What do you
take
want?
The pass.
Take the pass. Take the pass.
Make sure you want. John Cougar Mellencamp's coming back.
Yeah, but that's it. I was like, how many Evenko?
Medical John
I was like,
Cougar.
How many Evenko shows do you really, really want to go to, though? Like,
there's a lot by the Bell Center. All right, look, I work for those. I don't want to say anything.
I don't want to trash talk Evenko right now.
Actually, I saw John Cougar Mellencamp.
Yeah.
What was it, like 2 or 3 years ago? And he had this band with him. And I've never really been a huge John Cougar Mellencamp fan.
Well, I mean,
but when the band dropped out and it was just him
with
the guitar, It was pretty. It's pretty special, man. It's pretty cool. It was, I was like, this is pretty fucking cool. Yeah.
Hey.
I was surprised. That was one of those like surprising things. Like, ah, I think I like John Cougar Mellencamp.
Yeah, well,
I think I'm old.
Yeah. No, buddy, buddy, coming back to Dave Grohl. Sadly, I wish I hadn't referenced him now because it sounds like I'm really into Dave Grohl.
Oddly enough, Dave Grohl was playing drums for John Cougar Mellencamp.
Was he really?
He's really busy.
He does everything.
He does everything.
No, but it was a buddy of mine who went to go see Dylan opening.
I was at that show.
And he saw him in Ottawa. I don't know. I can't say anything for the Montreal show. But was saying that Dylan did this really kind of like boring shit where it was like lights up, he would play the song, lights down,
yeah.
He would like either switch guitars or like retune. Lights up, play the song, did not address the audience, did not do anything. He was like, I was super bummed.
Dylan doesn't talk to the audience, dude.
Huh?
Dylan doesn't talk to the audience.
He doesn't have to talk to the audience, but he's like, I'd almost prefer to sit there quietly and enjoy Dylan fucking like strumming a few chords then lights down and see it. You know, he's like, you expect a little bit of like distance between the audience with you and Bob Dylan, but he's like,
no one can see me tune my guitar anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Those fucking peanuts are making me choke.
Sorry.
Damn them. Some more beer. Come
skin,
on.
There's a skin on those nuts.
Were they? I'm so sorry. Anyway.
I specifically asked for no skin on these nuts.
Oh, fuck. Interview over. Oh. Only fucking brown M&Ms. God damn it. So, and he was saying that, like, Dave Grohl was doing the acoustic, like, Skin and Bones tour. And he's like, it was super sad because he was like, I enjoyed Dave Grohl more than I enjoyed Bob Dylan. Because he was like, Bob Dylan just, like,
fact.
Hit note for note all the songs and whatever.
No,
like,
he doesn't. That's the thing with Bob Dylan.
He just fucks around?
Bob Dylan always does, like, you never hear the same, like, live.
Apparently in Ottawa
Dylan's
it was garbage. It was just, like, the studio version played not that well. The end.
If he did that, that'd be like really weird because like he seriously always fucks around in his live tracks, man. Yeah, like
I think like
maybe just wasn't maybe he was.
I think
wasn't
what it is
it.
Is it just comes down to age because I've like seen Willie Nelson a lot. Me and Nancy have seen Willie Nelson.
Yeah, but Willie Nelson's
times.
A pothead, so he's
but
just
thing,
enjoying what he's doing all the time.
He still has. He's one of those guys who's old.
You sound like a
we travel to the
then.
States a lot to see Willie Nelson. Me and Nancy.
Yeah.
And he still has the voice, the tone, and everything going.
Yeah.
I saw Tony Bennett.
Oh.
And he was still really awesome, but
also
slipped a bit. And then there's like people like you see Rod Stewart, who are old, but they're just not – they can't hit the notes anymore.
Yeah.
Well, that so, was, they can't
so they do American
thing.
Standards.
Yeah.
There was
whatever,
like when I
so
saw
– you just leave it alone. Dave Grohl, everyone, you know, there's an age where and when your voice goes or your thing goes, just fucking retire.
Yeah, just
it's like boxers. They never want to stop when they're at the top, you know? They need to get the shit kicked out of them.
Yeah, like I was at Heavy MTL like 2 years ago when Megadeth and whatever. And
stayed to watch Megadeth?
I left. like maybe two or three songs into the track. Because I was just sort of like, so like Mustaine gets up on fucking stage and he still has the chops. Like he can still play.
Yeah.
Right? And they're just like, I think they like opened with Hangar 18 or whatever the fuck it was. And you're just sort of like, yeah, fucking Megadeth. And then he gets up there and he's like, and you're like, Dave Mustaine kid's lost his voice because of drugs. And I was like, I'm out. I just like, I fucking left two, three songs into the tracks.
I think the other thing, too, is you just actually listen to Hangar 18 and, like, Megadeth again. They actually kind of – it's not that good.
No,
it was good
but,
back
but
in the
it,
day.
But it's kind of – it's fun, right? Like, I went to go –
it's like watching, like Whoopi Goldberg movies. And, like
you watch the original Home Alone.
And they're like, oh, I'm going to watch Home Alone again. It was so good back then. And you watch it again, you're like, it kind of sucked.
Yeah, I don't know.
No. Wrong.
I don't know if you're into –
no, was it good?
Home Alone's really good.
Into movies. Or children movies from the 80s.
Yeah.
Dude, the never
just, that was the creepiest thing anyone's ever said to me. I don't know how much you're into children's movies.
In the 80s. No, the Neverending Story apparently ages terribly. Like, I have memories of it as a childhood that are amazing.
Yeah.
I'm just sort of like, it's fucking fascinating. And I'm like, and everyone's like, never watch it again. Like, your memories are doing more justice to the Neverending Story than the Neverending Story would possibly do to itself.
Yeah, you need to, like, it's like watching Megadeth. You need to maybe not see it again.
Yeah. Like, that
Weekend at Bernie's. Classic forever.
Especially when they fucked it up. Like,
Revenge of the Nerds, classic forever.
Yeah. At that
Megadeth.
Same, at that same Heavy MTL, though, Slayer was there. Slayer did not miss a beat.
That Slayer was good.
No,
like,
Slayer
just stood up there. They had fucking like 40 amps on stage that are all just there for show. Like, brrr, and you're like, Slayer.
The inverted crosses?
No, they didn't have the inverted crosses. No, because it was What the fuck?
Oh yeah,
it's an outdoor show, so they can't set up. But I still like the fact that they made the fucking roadies or whatever. We'd still like 36 amps set up on stage.
Slayer's a classic, yeah. Slayer, they never falter. Look at Metallica.
No, no, I'd rather not.
As soon as the Black Album came out, I was like,
"Have you heard Lulu?"
No,
do you know about Lulu?
No.
Okay.
As soon as the Black Album came out,
Metallica teamed up with Lou Reed. And they released an album together. Single.
That came out.
It's him rambling. It's just fucking retarded. It's like, so picture...
I have to go home and
Fucking look it up. Brutal. So it's like maybe like an album ago Metallica. So like Metallica with the balls torn off. So like still a little heavy. But
their balls got torn off in like long 1995 time ago. Yeah, yeah. Or something.
But it's like, I would almost... Like the music's awful. Very torn up Metallica. Then it's Lou Reed just rambling like an old man. He's just sort of like, "We are the universe connected forever." And you're like, and you're like, "Oh my god!" Like, it's depressing for Metallica because Metallica's been depressing for 20 years. It's depressing for Lou Reed because you're like, just stop doing anything.
Yeah,
just fucking sit on your laurels and die a legend. You know, like no one.
You know who's still really good is Al Green. I want to see Al Green live.
Who?
Al Green?
No, Al Green.
Yes. Did he not just die recently?
No. I think he's still alive. Unless it's been the last, like, week.
I know
or he's dead.
I know I saw some pretty good, like, performances
like
from, like, later in life. Later in life performances. But, like, yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah.
Is he dead?
No, I don't think so.
Don't tell me that. I'll never see him live.
He just freaked me out because I'm like, you know, I try to watch
I'd really rather see him live.
I didn't
have any peanuts. I'm okay.
There's some skins on
okay,
them.
We're coming up to the end of the hour. You managed that Just for Last Cabaret.
I did.
I want the most fucked up story you have.
Regarding a celebrity.
Other than my own personal
Other than your own Hell's Angels story and whatever that you were talking about before.
That wasn't the case.
And then you're like, that's not even me. So yeah, most... You could, like, celebrity... Rock and roll, drugs, whatever. Most fucked up cabaret story that you can think of.
There's been a few. Jay Retard was exceptionally...
there's an artist known as Jay Retard?
Asshole.
Yeah, you don't know about Jay Retard?
He was exceptionally an asshole. My good friend was the sound guy.
Okay.
And it almost came to blows there. That wasn't a big thing. Right. I think the best thing that ever happened to me personally when I was there, and like Leonard Cohen was one, meeting him. But nothing... It was like we just talked about coffee.
For how long? And like for like a, again, inordinate
like
amount of time.
4 minutes. Like his wife was actually his wife is gorgeous. She's like this gorgeous Asian chick, and she's like 30 years younger than him. And I kept wanting to be like,
you wanted to give Leonard Cohen props.
Yeah, I was
like, yes.
Oh, she's such a good singer, and I was like, probably pretty good. No,
I bet you she's pretty good at other things. Am I right?
You can't say that
to Leonard Cohen.
And he's probably like, I wouldn't know. It doesn't work anymore.
I haven't seen my dick in 20 years, son.
Fuck. It's flaccid. I think the best thing ever when I was there was meeting Mark Lanegan twice. I met Mark Lanegan twice.
Who?
Mark Lanegan?
Right.
Right.
Yes.
Do you want to fill us in on
I recovered on that pretty
Mark
good.
Mark Lanegan is?
He was a singer for the Screaming Trees, and he's on all the Queens of Stone Age albums almost.
Yeah. Okay.
His last solo albums. For me, he's like one of my favorite musicians.
All right.
Solo guy.
But you don't have anything particularly fucked up? I was really hoping to end with something. You just make something up about a celebrity.
Did you ever have to go get like hard drugs for anyone?
Like, was there any like crazy requests?
Other than for myself?
No.
Other than for yourselves?
Yeah. I don't know. There's just so many.
But you gotta come on. Just one strong one. I was like, he's gotta have a story about someone fucking coked up or whatever.
There's
like
so many. There's so many I don't even know what to tell you. And I don't want to like...
You don't even have to name names. You could be like, a certain rock star did blah. It was crazy because of blah. You don't have to. I just I thought that...
Yeah, because that'd be a great anecdote.
Like, how many
like,
is there?
I can imagine the comedians also were fucked out of their mind. And just like, because I heard a story, not about Cabaret.
So now
blah.
You're going to tell a story.
No. Just really quick story. It was just some fucking DJ, whatever else like that, that came for Halloween weekend. Friend Guillaume was super into electronic music.
Right.
And he was like, apparently the guy was like, I want there to be fucking, like, I don't want to have to worry about running out of ketamine. And they were like, no problem. Tons of K at your hotel room.
He's that's pretty...
And he was, and they were just sort of like, they were random like, request. They were like, I don't think that was that clear. That's I don't want it to worry about running out of ketamine. I want it to be in the car that picks me up at the fucking airport. And they were like, oh, okay.
I can tell you one thing I know from working in venues all this time and working with bands. The bands that are like the most outrageous, like Super Suckers. That are like, they have a crowd of people following them. They're like, they drink, do drugs, and that's their whole thing.
Yeah.
These people with this persona are never the people who actually party the most.
Well, because I don't think you could, like, you couldn't do it as hard as the image is. Fucking 36.
Yeah, the most unsuspecting people are always the folk singers and, you know.
Yeah.
The underground people. What was that
one guy's name? Jay,
I don't even want. I can't say names.
Jay.
This one guy, Walker.
Yeah, it's fine.
There was one guy who showed up actually one time. He's a ghostwriter, and he wrote some. I'm not gonna say his name. He wrote some soundtracks for movies.
Okay.
This is in 2000.
It's Moby.
Last year we were there. Moby. It's gotta be Moby.
Yeah. Anyway, his family was in town. He came off the tour bus. Wearing leather, all leather gear, tight as with the
tassels. This is my comfortable clothing.
Right away, because he does music for soundtracks and like ghostwriting.
Yeah.
He's like, here's $500, cocaine, and I was like, okay, whatever. Sure, we can figure that out. And then later, like 2 hours later, he's like, here's $200 for ecstasy. I was like, okay, I like this guy's style. And then he actually had the goal to do the show perfectly. Yeah. And then, like, while he's completely fucked up, hung out with him the whole night, and it was insane. Yeah, I came to see his name because
it'd be, like, super.
Yeah.
But
there's been some crazy times.
That's $700 dropped on
definitely
drugs
for sure. Meeting Mark Lanegan was the scariest thing I've ever had to deal with in my life.
That's because you were, like, a fan? Or like
I'm a fan. Well, it doesn't matter because by this time I'm, like, I've met tons of people I respect, but he is, like, an ex-heroin addict and quiet. And
yeah.
First time I met him, he came in. He's a huge guy. He's, like, 6'4".
Jesus.
And when he sat there, he just sat in a chair and stared straight ahead.
Oh, my God. That'd be super freaky.
And I tried to say hi to him. I was like, I want you to know I really I listen to your albums a lot. And he just stared straight ahead and sat with his perfect posture. And he's this huge Frankenstein-looking motherfucker. Tattoos everywhere. I was like, second time I met him, he was super nice. No, he didn't remember me, but he was like, oh, aloof, you know? I'm like, nice.
Anyway.
No, I'm a little bit quiet because, I'm a little bit quiet.
You're a little bit quiet because you did all that ketamine that I talked about earlier?
Yeah. That's what I did, yeah.
You look like a ketamine addict.
I know. I didn't think
the
so.
The hair parted over neatly. It's
exactly. I can do okay. So, we have, I'll link all your shit, your band's out-of-date website. We were looking at your shit, and we were like, oh.
It's so old and stuff. Just go, like, go to Skag Bear and stuff.
Just look at this other band called Skag Bear, which we're going to listen to a track as we close out.
Yeah.
It's going to be the song Come On.
Come on.
By the Skag Bear, who are headlining the show on the 29th at Divan L'Orange. Yeah.
They're fine.
Opening up for them is the Heavy Hands. We were just talking with
Le Vian Rouge. Yeah.
And Le Vian Rouge also. Just talking with the lead singer of the Heavy Hands, Cousins. It was a good time.
Walter, had fun.
Have fun?
I had great fun.
You got great fun?
I'm sorry, Chokey's still in the peanut. I'll be honest.
And just go plug yourself. Episode
4.
Four.
Episode 4.
Yes.
Phantom Menace.
Yeah, we'd love to.
No, New Hope. New Hope.
Yeah. Episode 4 of the New Hope.
New Hope. Come on, come on. I'll just bring you down with me. Come
95.cc. We're not working. Why should you? Thanks for listening.